Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. And we did it. This is the last part of the learning series. So if you've been listening for a while, you know that we've had this 10-part series going through the year to celebrate the 10 years of the podcast, with 10 different ways in which we can learn and grow and develop our skills. And this is the last one, learning through volunteering. And we made this in three parts because we had different people. So yeah, we did it. And it's really nice to welcome somebody on the podcast whom I've known for about 5 years, I think 4 or 5 years. We were together in some other networking events, and now she's here on the podcast. So welcome, Colette.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, it's good to see you again.
And yes, it's lovely to be here.
It's nice to, I know you've got a lot of experience in this area of volunteering, so it's going to be good to find out some of what you do and what you've discovered and learned. But maybe you could just start by introducing yourself to everyone who's listening on the podcast. Like, tell us something about you and who you are.
Yeah, so I'm on in my years a little bit now from a career perspective, and I've done a lot of work in healthcare, the healthcare industry. So I'd be quite familiar with projects and procurements over the years. And I've done many different types of things, some really interesting stuff as well. Like, so, you know, I would have done medical equipment, but I've also done recreational equipment, like for the rehab hospital out in Dunleary. And you know, doing things like swimming pools and climbing walls and stuff has been quite interesting and diverting from my normal stuff. So I've really enjoyed all of that. Yes, that's me in a nutshell. I would have worked in the past in the Netherlands as well, and I would have worked in, you know, their seed producing companies for vegetables. That was also a big learning curve and very interesting over the years. So yes, that's kind of a little bit of me.
Okay, and so when you decided to do some voluntary work, did you want something that's similar to your day job, or did you want something completely different? How did you decide, or how did volunteering become part of what you do?
Well, I never really thought of specifically volunteering for something in which I had a skill set for. In my early days, I would have volunteered as with the, what do you call it, the civil defence in Ireland, in Dublin. So that was that had many aspects to it, and I chose the first aid side of things, and I learned how to drive an ambulance and stuff like that. So I have an ambulance driving license out of it, which is a great thing about volunteering, is sometimes you get to develop your own skills as part of it. Like, but that was out. You were out in forests trying to save the people, like in practice runs and stuff like that. And there was huge learning curves in that for me as a younger person. Like, and you know,
first aid skills too. I mean, we never know when we're going to need those. Like, you got the first aid training to do that, but like now, if you see somebody, I know you need to keep it up to date and the qualifications and everything, but those skills are important for anyone to have.
Well, you never lose it, and because you've done these practice runs, I think the great memories are the ones that I got wrong, or that a group of us got really wrong. You know, I can remember one time there was a guy out in the forest, and he was gasping for air. And it turned out when we moved it about, we found that he was impaled. Obviously, this is all set up because it's a practice, but he was impaled with a metal tube. And we did all the patching up great. We did a great job, but he was still gasping for air. Big time, and we lost him basically. We didn't get that one right. But not one of us thought to actually put our finger on the tube itself so that the air wouldn't be going into his chest cavity, which
Oh,
was
okay.
what was technically happening in the practice. So that was something I'm never going to forget ever. So,
If you ever come across someone who's been impaled, you'll know what not to do.
yeah, it's the tube part. It's the fact that it was a hollow tube like, and not, we patched all around, but we never patched the tube. We never put our finger or put anything on the tube itself to stop the air going in that way, and that's why we lost him. Technically speaking, so I've never forgotten it, or I never will. Like, and I also, because of that exercise, would know that if I saw someone caught in water and there was any kind of a hose or tube nearby, you just throw it into them and get them to put it in their mouth, and they are fine until we can get someone to go remove what's catching them. But you don't think of these things. You know, this is the learning curve of being a volunteer in anything, is the skill sets you develop are just incredible. And they're the real set of skills that you need in life, I suppose.
Yeah, so
That's right.
that was at the beginning, and so now I know that it's changed a bit. So what are you involved with at the moment? What kind of activities?
So this time around, I actually chose to volunteer for something where my skill sets would actually help. And I think that's also partly because I'm older now. I'm in later years in life, and I've realized that I now possess the real skill to teach and help someone else, but also to deliver, good outcomes on voluntary work. So what I am at the moment, I'm now the secretary of a town team, which is something in Ireland. In Ireland, they're looking at developing and making better the rural villages and towns of the country. And so they have a town centre first project, let's say, being rolled out across the whole country. Our town here, near where I live, is one of the first to be included in this for the county that I'm in. And that I just felt that I could offer this voluntary group a lot of skills because I had all of this years of project work, of procurement. And the one big thing that really drove me for this is I had done a number of years working for the National Rehab Hospital in Dunleary, where I learned a tremendous amount about disability and accessibility and inclusion. And, I just thought there is a lot of people that, they do meet accessible standards, but it's normally just the basic levels, which really don't bring in, let's say, the most amazing opportunities for everyone, right? So what I'm trying to say here, it's like a lot, and it is changing, but a lot of designs would have your normal stream of people walking in one area and then a specialized stream for someone who's in a wheelchair, so that they're going up a ramp that might be over on the far side and going in a different direction or whatever, because that's the facility is been there for them and that's considered to be accessible. But we really want universal design now. We want things to be the same for everyone as much as possible. So there is no sort of no need for someone to take a different direction because they have a certain kind of disability. So there's an amazing and I can't think of where it is, but there is an amazing entrance to a building somewhere where the steps are all going up, but throughout the steps they also have a ramp. So everybody approaches the building in exactly the same way, but whether you can walk or you can't walk, you use the same entrance. It's that type of thing, the universal design. So I've learned a lot in that. So I thought, yeah, if I get a chance to use that, and this opportunity came up, and I thought, well, I'm going to be part of this group because I want to drive, living in a town to be possible from cradle to grave, no matter what your disability might happen to be, whether you're born with one or whether you develop one, and 70% of our population will be disabled at some point in their life. That could be as simple as a mother with two young kids, both in a pram, and she's trying to deal with a door into a toilet. It's that simple. And we don't really think of disability in that way. Most people think of it as a wheelchair, and they never see the unseen disabilities that are out there as well. So I just thought, yeah, if I joined this and we're developing the town, the local town, I'd be doing my best to try and develop it so that people can live in it from cradle to grave, and no matter what befalls them or what disability they are born with or what disability comes along temporarily for them, whether it's a broken leg, a broken arm, they can still go to the shop, they can still go down and into the post office. Do you know what I mean? Like, they
Yeah,
can
it's
still
bringing that
access along the
experience.
roads, along the pathways, across the crossings, all of that, like, without having to have someone come with them to help them, or hold on to your independence and your dignity and all of that. Like, so that was the real reason why I joined this. So I've ended up being the secretary of the town team, the company secretary. And as part of that, then I would have a lot of, let's say, input into the projects, rolling out different programs of projects. And also, I would have the procurement background, which is a huge help. And another one I have is Lean Six Sigma, which is about, doing things, smartly rather than, working in a smart way, in the sense that you make life easier for the majority of the people. Yeah, there's a lot there. There's a lot of skills that I bring to this, and I thought it's time to use them now and bring them to the table and help other people to learn it as well and grow. And make the town a really brilliant place to live for anyone.
And it's your town as well, so it's like doing something for your local community as well. So it's like the community that you're part of, and you're contributing in some way to making that a better place.
Yes, because I'm a real believer. A lot of people talk about the work-life balance, and in more recent times, they now talk about the work, the life, and the community balance. Whereas I like to think of it, I like to look a bit more deeply at that. And I feel that to really get my balance right, it's work, life, community, but it's also myself, my body, and my soul. Like, it's managing my life in all those five aspects. So I think of it as a five-pointed star, I like to think of it. And usually there's about 3 points that are kind of above the horizon, let's say. Horizon line, and they would be the work, the family, and the community. When you do a bit for all of those, your purpose in life, it feels so much better. And then the 2 points that are kind of underneath the horizon line, you could say, that are lower down, pointing downwards, they're the grounded points of my own life, my body and my soul, parts of me that I'm always also having to balance. So you have to give a little bit to all the points at the star. If you're concentrating only on work, you're failing, not failing, but you deprive yourself of family life, of community life, which are as equally as important. Like, nobody will miss you when you're gone, and the work will still be done by somebody else. It'll never just fail because you're not there.
Everyone can be
So
replaced
yeah,
and so on.
but you only have one life to live, and you have to really make you yourself have a purpose for it, and actually feel that when your time is done, that you can actually say, well, actually, I gave something to this world, and I didn't leave it in the way I found it. I left it better, so, and it better in small pieces, better from a work perspective, a family perspective, a community perspective, and from your own life and soul perspective. Like, so that's kind of the way I like to look at it.
And it's leaving it better. Like for some people, it is like making some great discovery or doing something really big. But sometimes, for most of us, it's just like the day to day being consistent, doing something that's useful, and another thing that's useful. Like, it doesn't have to be something massive. It's more about the continuity and helping in a way that is meaningful, but is also kind of not just a one-off thing. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't,
Yeah,
you don't have
that's
to look for something like, oh, this is something we're going to put in the news. It's like amazing. But sometimes it's just, the day-to-day stuff, just keeping on with it,
And you know,
all
you're
the little
very
things.
right there because, like, I am probably one of the things that worries me about the generation coming up is they see so much celebrity status out there and people who have suddenly earned loads of money or have been born into, some kind of a family that have money, like, and it's all about having money and being rich, like, but when you die, none of that comes with you. And I've seen plenty of people die working in the healthcare services that are young and old, right? But it is about feeling fulfilled yourself. And that doesn't mean that, as you said, it doesn't mean it has to be the big thing. You can be, and I would certainly feel a lot more fulfilled by the fact that I have done a number of things in my life that have both built my skill mix, but also that I'm actually giving back and teaching younger people who are interested in volunteering and get to learn from me from what I'm doing, within a group. As I learned from other people who had, at the time that I was starting to volunteer as a young person, it is the people that had were further along life that had the skill sets that taught me. And like volunteering just brings huge amount of knowledge to the table that you would never learn otherwise.
And sometimes it is skills, because we've talked about the skills that you bring to the volunteering, and we've talked about like learning new skills, like with the ambulance driving. But would you say there are other things that you've learned, about yourself, or things that you didn't expect to learn when you went into the role that maybe had nothing to do with the role, but that you wouldn't have learned without the volunteering experience?
Oh, yeah, there's death. Like, it's hard. There's so much. There are so many people that I have met through volunteering that just had amazing skill sets. And, it could be the smallest thing that they might say to you. And I can't really think of examples. I can think of an example of one meeting somebody in a volunteering role where, like, I kind of wondered why they were even bothering to volunteer, and they were, at that time I was a lot younger, so they would have seemed a lot older to me, like, but at one day in chatting, I learned that the man used to be the captain of a massive big container ship on the oceans, and it just blew my mind that he was doing this very simple, basic kind of community volunteering when he had such incredible skill sets and knowledge. And he just said, well, I have to do something, and I really enjoy being out and mixing with people. It's what I like. But, it's people who have done jobs you can't even imagine, whether it's nurses that have worked in theatres, whether it's, and I would have had a lot of worked with a lot of people like this. Whether it's, in the case of some of the volunteers that I might have met along the way, might have been like ambassadors for Ireland that are volunteering in particular groups, like, or, electricians, crane drivers is another one that always fascinates me. But they could be telling you something like, to allow me to stay up there all day long, I will do this, that, and the other. And it's giving you knowledge that if at some time in your life you need to pace yourself for something, that the pre-planning part that they have maybe guided you on is it becomes very valuable. Maybe you're going on a very long plane journey and you know that you need to eat to keep your ears from going to what would you call it? From popping or not popping or whatever, to keep them popping, yes, so that your ears are comfortable on the flight or whatever. I mean, a lot of people would know that now, like, but back in the days when flying wasn't so prolific and it cost a fortune to go on a flight, like, I mean, those things were valuable information for you. And I've met bank managers, tourist promoters, social workers, grandfathers, grandmothers, young people with children, three or four children, and trying to manage that. And you're always learning something. It could be they could be describing how they fitted a double bag buggy through a door, like, and you're learning how they managed to maneuver and move around from something they say or some comment or conversation you're in. It's
They all have this
always a
need for
learning
connection,
curve.
isn't it? Like the people who you maybe think, oh, what are they doing here when they have other experience? But sometimes people just need connection with other people. And I guess if maybe if you're in a new town or something like that and you don't know anybody, this can be a really good way to meet people or maybe to meet different people, but to not just be alone. You know, like we often want to have, you know, conversations and connection, and finding something that you can do that is useful is a good way to start some of those conversations, especially if you're like in a new city or you want to learn something new. But I think we all need maybe some more than others, but most of us want connection in some form.
And that and you're absolutely right as well there. I totally agree, because when I was in Holland, it is a way, and I can't really remember. I do remember that I did do some volunteering, and it was in a town hall in Holland, like, and I wouldn't have had much of the Dutch at all, but I had the English, and that's what they were looking for. But in doing that, then I met a few people that I would have never met otherwise, like, but it made connections in the Netherlands for me, meant that my network was growing a little bit more day by day, because I was reaching out and meeting people I otherwise would never have met if I didn't volunteer. And you know, at the end of the day, it is growing networks. You know, they say that it's not what you know, it's who you know. And it is very true. The more you build in your networks, the more chances you have for yourself to progress somewhere by knowing who has what skill mix, so that when maybe you need to tap into that knowledge base, you can pick up a phone and ring that person and say, "Hi, do you remember me? I'm actually wondering, could you help me? You give me some inspiration or thoughts on this, because I have a task to do and I thought maybe you'd be able to help. You know, because of your knowledge that I realized you had when we were volunteering together, like, And
Yeah, and the
as well
network
as that,
is amazing,
yeah,
isn't it? Like how many people you can, like, because I'm running these networking sessions now, and I'm meeting people from like all over the world, and it's really nice when you can bring people together as well. Maybe they didn't know each other, but you can connect to people that can probably help each other in some way, or that feels good. That's a nice thing to do.
yes. And to actually say, like, anytime you should always, like, add that piece, like, anytime you if you're stuck or something, don't hesitate to ring me. And I know how many people when I was much younger would say that, but I would be afraid in a certain way to bother them or, you know, ask them anything. I'd feel maybe they're too above me or whatever to ask that question. But in fact, they would have helped. Any of them would have helped. And I would, as you grow up, you get more what you call it, confident in yourself or whatever, and you ring. I wouldn't, you know, I would, I now realize that if anyone, you know, rang me tomorrow and said, "You know what I'm thinking," and some people have done that from 2 or 3 years back, say, "Colette, I remembered you did this. Can you just tell me how you'd approach that?" And it only takes a couple of minutes, a short phone call, and you can help someone tremendously if that's the skill set they need at that time.
Yeah, and I think we're in. I mean, it is good to be independent, but there's like, I don't know, maybe it's a cultural thing as well. But this idea, like, I don't need anyone's help, I can do everything, but nobody can do everything, and nobody can survive without anyone's help. And sometimes when I look back at some of the times when I was really struggling with things, I was thinking, there actually were people that could have helped you, you just didn't ask them. You just,
Exactly.
you could have done. It's easy to look back, but, I
Yeah.
guess the important thing is that you learn from these experiences. But I think you're right. Something like volunteering does bring us into contact with people that we would never have met otherwise. And I think that's really enriching, because sometimes we surround ourselves with people who are like us in some way. Even when we say we don't, I guess there's a part of us that looks for people with similar interests, or, you know, similar ways of approaching things, and I guess we all do that to some extent, but when you're working in a volunteering role, you never really know whom you're coming into contact with, and sometimes that can help you to see things from different perspectives, and I think that's a really valuable part of the experience as well.
Absolutely. Yes.
So what about favorite things? Can you think of any favorite memories, things that happened that you really enjoyed or?
yes, I you know, so many times it's like, yeah, it's hard to think of a favorite, I suppose. You know, like the job I'm doing at the moment, another job, but the volunteering work that I do at the moment, it's all about, you know, developing the town. And I suppose in a way, sometimes it's almost like a second job, nearly. So I suppose I did actually, I was teaching young kids once. Oh, more than once. I did a summer project once for children in the neighborhood. There was around 300 children in it, so we would have done a lot of games and stuff with them, taking them places on tours and that. And you know, it like I myself wouldn't have children, and so, and I, you know, kind of you touch, you don't have them in your life every day. So when you do actually have to encounter them every day for a couple of days in a row, it's fascinating the things they'll come out with and what they'll say. And so that was a huge opportunity for me to kind of like experience kids on a daily basis and the kind of questions, but why, but why, but why? You often hear parents saying that, and you don't really understand it until it's actually pointed at you, you know. And I've done a lot of child minding as well, usually large families, believe it or not, even though I don't have kids myself. But always enjoyable. But it is fascinating to, you know, see children in action when you don't have them yourself, and actually realize how life can be so different for parents to the kind of life you might have or whatever. I suppose, yeah, thinking of favorite things. Yes, it's just, it's nothing really coming to my mind, you
Nice
know.
that, like with the children, because it's something completely different, and
Yes.
it's a chance. I'm sure they have fun as well, but it's a chance for you to learn something too, and about
And to
them and about how
see
they see the
life
world.
through the eyes of a child, it's actually not that easy for everyone. You
I
know,
think especially
I
when you don't have
remember.
them. I don't have kids, and yeah,
Yeah.
I find it hard to think like how would a child see that? Because it was a long time ago that I was one, and I don't have any,
Yes.
so.
And like another thing, and I know that's true work really, you know, but we used to do some bits of extra help, like in when I worked for the children's hospital, and that how the play therapists distract children so that they're actually doing their therapy exercises without realizing it is always
It's a game.
fascinating. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And learning from, well, I suppose I'm lucky because the kind of work I've done in the hospitals has always, in healthcare, has always been very diverse, and there's always been huge opportunities to tip in and out of many different specialities, both in the adult and the children's hospital and the National Rehab Hospital as well. But yeah, like just the volunteering, then you're just, you know, instead of meeting all these people that are heavily involved in healthcare, I then meet people who are engineers and electricians and, you know, plumbers, and you start to realize, you know, from listening to things they might say, is that what I think a simple, like a road engineer or some, you know, somebody one day saying, why don't you just put a roundabout there? And they're saying, well, that's a main national road. So if I put a roundabout, or it's a regional road, if I put a roundabout in that spot, I'd have to knock a few houses down to put one in that could take the turn of an articulated lorry. Well, I would have never seen something like that, and I would have never thought that way. I would have, you know, you're used to seeing tiny little roundabouts sometimes in housing estates where you don't have 40-foot trucks going through, and you think that can go anywhere, but it can't. And so you're always learning something new about something. And it could be as well, like we have some volunteers in our team at the moment. We've massive diversity in our team because there's 23 members on the group, like, but we have people who are amazing knitters, embroidery people who have crafts, jewelry, or they have crafts of some kind, be it cookery or whatever, that bring to the table just so many more interests and fascinating information to learn from. I just love it.
Yeah, and you never know what's going to happen next, I guess, like who you're going to meet.
Yeah.
So just to finish, what would you say then to people who are thinking about volunteering? Do you have any tips, any advice, like how to start, how to make time, or how to choose what to get involved with? Do you have any tips?
I suppose if you're going out there, ask yourself, is there something that particularly interests you that you feel you can give a little bit to, even if you're a younger person and you might not feel you've a lot of skills? Is there some small aspect of something that you actually enjoy or like doing? There are quite a few young people that absolutely love learning or getting involved in like nursing homes or something like that, where they get to meet people who have done amazing things, and that's huge. Like, I know for myself, even going in and doing the Christmas songs at some of the nursing homes and that, like, and then going to talk to them afterwards and learning what they've done in their lives has been truly inspiring. But if you can find something that you think you would like to do, and to go and find an organization where that particular skill mix is desirable, and go knock on the door. There's so many organizations out there that just dying to get volunteers. There's actually a huge need for volunteers. It's because in today's world, like in days gone by, there was a lot of work that people were, there were almost vocational jobs or work that people would not hesitate to do. But nowadays, we're gone a bit more, what's in it for me, if you know what I mean. But don't do it for something to be returned to you. Do it to give something that you have that is needed, and enjoy that, and the people you meet will give to you, if you know what I mean, and build your networks. Do try and get into something that will have diversity in it, that you will learn a lot from. So your job is usually something that is very specific. So in my case, it's healthcare. So I would, in my job, learn an awful lot about first aid, about medical stuff, about equipment, about whatever, all to do with medical stuff. So if some of my skills of what I've done, like the project management, the procurement, can be offered to something else, like this town team, where I'm bringing a skill mix that they need, but I'm also learning so much from them, because there's the engineers are involved. There's people who, have businesses. There's a lot of people who have businesses in this particular group, catering or working with the community, doing the youth and all the rest, like, and the GAA and whatever, which are things that I'm not involved in, because I'm not someone that likes to be is very sporty. But it's so interesting to know about those things and what they're doing and how hard they have to work to achieve things. Like, it's yeah, I think I would say to people, think about what they want to do and whether their skill mix that they have could benefit somebody else. And if they're really willing to give, then receive what that group can give back to them.
Yeah, don't like find a way to make that a reality. Don't just like start by thinking about it, because then you'll be in a better position. But take it past the thinking stage and go and see where you can actually apply those skills. And there's so many ways now. Like you can ask locally. There are like I guess it's the same in Ireland, I don't know, but here there are online databases and international databases as well, like for volunteer roles. But not all roles appear on somewhere like that. So if you find an
Exactly.
organization that you identify with, then you can also contact them, because they may not have something on the website, but they may still be looking for people. And if they're really looking for people, they may not have had the time to put on the website. But it means that if you are clear about what you can offer, then you can contact people who may need those skills.
And usually it's the main, like a community center. If there's a community centre in your town, if there is a parish or a church organisation that does a lot of volunteering locally, or if there's a couple of like a lot of family resource centres out there that love to probably hear from people who can teach something, some skill that's not otherwise available, whatever it is, like, because yeah, every time we learn, like I remember this teacher that I had at one point, he said there are two things in life that we will never want to be without. And one is food, because we need it for our bodies, but the other is education for our minds, because we have to feed our mind as well. And we are humans, our brains just want to be fed all the time, and the more knowledge we have, the better. I suppose that's why social media gets watched so much. But unfortunately, social media, it's not always known what's truth and what isn't, what's true and what's false. So you can learn a lot of things that
Depends
aren't
what you're
true.
consuming, doesn't it? Depends where you're
Yeah,
going for that
yeah.
information.
And you're not meeting people face to face and building those networks that are really important. When you're on social media, it's something you look at and you go away from, but you haven't made a connection with anyone. And
I think you can, like if it's something like LinkedIn, like I would see on social media, and I've now
I suppose
like got a
I'm just,
network all around the
yeah, no,
world
you're right.
full of
I'm
amazing
thinking of
people.
the reels that a lot of
Yeah,
people
like
just flick in and
Instagram
out
Reels or
on.
YouTube, or and there's no
Yeah.
interaction. That's very kind of passive
Yes.
social media consumption. It doesn't build connections. It doesn't help you
That's
to get
it.
to know
Yeah, I'm
other
really
people.
thinking that way, where a lot of people are caught into the reels and they're just going from one to the other to the other. They might be picking up information, but what of it is true and what of it is false, we don't know, and they don't connect. Whereas like anyone watching a podcast would be learning from something that two or more people are talking about. But it is better to get out and actually talk to someone directly yourself. You can't beat it.
There are some dubious podcasts as well. I've heard of some that
I'm
I wouldn't
sure.
be giving my time
Yeah.
to. But yeah, I think you're right. It's about learning. I mean, obviously, I'm a language trainer, so I believe in learning. But no, as a learner as well, I love all the knowledge that I get from learning my other languages, for example, and learning about other people. I think if we stop learning, it's a really sad place to be. So. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. Thank you for
You're
sharing
welcome.
your experiences. And I will, if you want to add links to anything, I know that's quite a local organization. I'm not sure if there'll be any people.
Oh, it's very local,
It's
all
very
right.
local, but maybe people might like to see what's going on. So if they have like a website where you explain what the project does, maybe we could include that as well. We'll see. But either way, it's been really good talking to you again and catching up. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Kirsty. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Have a lovely day.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.